SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Save big money on your next painting project right now at Menards. Give your room a grand finish with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer with a top resilient finish that is ultra scrubbable and stain resistant. Save big on Pittsburgh paint. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com. For all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Friday, the 14th of March 2025. The Australian share market bounced back today, up 0.5% to 7,789. We'll have the details with Isaac Poole from Oriana Private Wealth. But first, to New Zealand, which is at risk of a brain drain with a record number of people leaving the country and most for Australia. Stats New Zealand says there were nearly 123,000 migrant departures in January. That's the highest ever for an annual period. So for more, I spoke with Mark Smith. He is a senior economist at ASB in New Zealand. Mark, migration is the highest ever on record for an annual period out of New Zealand. What's driving people out of the country?
Good question. Yes, that record departures for New Zealand out of New Zealand, 120,000 people. That didn't seem like a lot for the year, but bear in mind, New Zealand's population is only about 5 million. So those flows are huge. In terms of where they're going, about 70,000 of the 120,000 people leaving are New Zealand citizens. So in terms of the drivers, really, I suppose you've got pull and push factors. In terms of the pull factors, really, the economies outside New Zealand are generally stronger. For example, the Australian unemployment rate at the moment is just over 4%. Here it's 5%. So if you want to get ahead, I suppose the move really is to get out of New Zealand. That seems to be really the motivation at the moment. There's been a pretty protracted and deep sort of downturn in the New Zealand economy. And as a result, a lot of job prospects have really dried up. And people are really voting with their feet and sort of getting out and looking offshore. So if you look at the global economy, New Zealand's probably dragging the chain in terms of recovery. So, and that's really, that people are really voting with their feet. Essentially, that's what we're seeing.
Is there a real risk of a brain drain in New Zealand, and how does that affect the economy?
Yeah, they can be. To give you an idea of context, the median age of people coming in is actually lower than the median age of people leaving. So if you translate that into sort of skills and experience, typically what you're seeing are younger people coming in who are typically a bit more unskilled, and you're seeing the more skilled and experienced people leave. So really the upshot with that will be a loss of skills and experience throughout the economy. And really what that means is the New Zealand economy won't be able to grow as fast as it could do with those migrants having left.
Of those New Zealanders leaving the country, do we know where they are going and why?
We don't, because the New Zealand Customs Service no longer have departure cards. You don't have to fill those out, so they have to model them. So when they have lagged sort of estimates, they did show, though, roughly half of the people leaving were going to Australia in terms of New Zealand citizens. So there's a really strong carrot there. I mean, that the better quality of life in Australia, the higher incomes are an obvious draw card for New Zealanders. And, you know, we see that trend sort of becoming a lot more stark over the year ahead as the New Zealand economy tends to underperform relative to our trading partners.
And what's being done about it? What is the government or what has the Reserve Bank of New Zealand said about it?
Yeah, good question. Migrations, it's a very, very difficult sort of, you're talking about between the difference of two very large and rapidly moving numbers. So it's very difficult for the government to get the settings exactly right. So we go from a period, for example, 2 years ago, where we had a record number of people coming into the country, around 130,000 people on a net basis. Now we're looking at probably 30,000 people on a net basis coming in. So that's well down from where we were a couple of years ago. We're about historical average. Now, what typically does tend to happen is if the downturn becomes more protracted, we could actually see more people on net leaving than people coming in. And that's certainly a risk. So the government are now trying to, I suppose, increase the allure of New Zealand as a place to live and work. We've seen a bit of a relaxation on migration settings. But again, you know, you change those policy settings and the impact on actual migration could be quite a long way away. Really, in terms of what the Reserve Bank view it, in terms of their view, typically it would be more people coming into the country will add more to demand, so more to the economy, more to the housing market. But what we've seen of late has been the more people coming in has actually helped fill those capacity bottlenecks in the labour market. And that's been a real factor in keeping wage inflation low. So I think the risk, though, is with more of a brain drain, you could get back to that sort of those sort of those challenges where you've got the economy struggling to grow, not being able to find the right people to do that.
That's Mark Smith there, a senior economist at ASB Bank in New Zealand.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Let's take a look at the Australian share market now, which rose, the S&P ASX 200, snapping a three-day losing streak, up 0.5% today to 7,789. But over in the US, the S&P 500 entered a correction overnight, now down 10.3% since its recent peak in February. So for more on that, I spoke with Isaac Poole, the Global Chief Investment Officer at Ariana Private Wealth. Isaac, so the S&P 500 in the US entered correction territory overnight. What typically happens when there's a correction? Because the decline has been pretty swift leading into it.
It has been very quick. And usually when you see these types of corrections, you really need the market to find a price where it reflects the likely outcome for earnings over the next 12 months or so. And at the moment, when we have slowing growth, and uncertainty around the Fed and uncertainty around tariffs, we're probably not at that price yet. In the near term, we might see some volatility. We might find some people buying the dip, but ultimately there could be further to go here.
Is this something that worries you as an investor?
It is because no one likes to see investors lose money, and it's not normal for equity markets to be falling like this. And really, the big worry is that because valuations and expected earnings growth was so elevated at the start of this year, we could see this price decline extend itself. And of course, when you see investors selling out of equity markets, it can become a bit of a self-fulfilling loop, which drives panic and even bigger declines.
Would it be fair to recognise, though, that when we look at the markets, in particular the US market, they've had a pretty solid run-up, right? So even over the past year, US shares are around 6 to 7% higher anyway, including this big correction that we've seen, right? And along with that, what do you think it will take to see the market stop falling?
Yeah, I mean, this is really important. We've seen 2 years of 20-plus percent returns in the US equity market. That is completely abnormal relative to history. The last 5 years have been 15% or so. That's completely abnormal relative to history. So, you know, this correction is perhaps something that wasn't necessary, but it brings us back to a more normal outcome. And in terms of getting the market to find a bottom, you know, this really comes down to seeing some signs that the economy will not fall into recession, easing those concerns, perhaps some more certainty around the tariff and the policy outlook, which just allows investors to say, well, you know what, earnings growth might pick up from here. Price is reflective of a more realistic valuation and we can come back in and buy.
Is it a case that when the US sneezes, the rest of the world and Australia catches a cold? Or are there other factors at play, particularly here in Australia? Because one of the key things, I guess, is that trade dispute or these trade issues, in particular with China and the flow-on effects to Australia.
Yeah, I mean, historically, it is true when the US sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. And I don't think Australia can be immune to this. But the big question is, all of this tariff uncertainty, the trade wars, the signs of growth beginning to slow in the US, will that ripple out across the world and cause a more pronounced global slowdown? Because Australia has had some weak growth recently. It's just started to turn the corner perhaps a little bit when we're seeing the numbers. The biggest risk for us here is that the US slows, the trade wars drive Chinese economic growth slower. And just as we're starting to see some positive signs here, it collapses. So it's not specifically an Australian problem, but there are some real risks for us in the near and medium term.
I know that hindsight is a wonderful thing, but when Donald Trump won the presidential election, we saw markets really rally right on expectations, you know, tax cuts would really help US earnings. Then when, and we already knew that the likelihood of tariffs may have been a possibility. But when we knew that these tariffs were coming through, we've saw this big turnaround. So shouldn't it have been something we were all expecting, this big correction as a result? What's changed? What's different?
I think there's a couple of issues here. One is the sequencing of events. I think there was a real hope that the tax cuts would be announced first and then tariffs announced later. And the reversal of that is a real issue for investors because we're getting all the bad news first and then the possibility of some positivity later. And that is hard to digest. Yeah, and I think the second issue here is that people simply did not believe that President Trump was legitimately going to introduce widespread tariffs. They were seen as a negotiating tactic only. And what we've seen is, yeah, they are a negotiating tactic, but they are coming and there's more to come. And that is what the real challenge for investors is at the moment.
So finally, as an investor yourself, this shift of sentiment that we're seeing in markets, has it changed the way you're investing now, or are there opportunities for investors at the moment as a result?
It has caused us to really, really be sure about our views. And we had been a little negative on equities for a while because valuations were stretched. We haven't got more negative, but we're not looking to buy a dip here at all. I think there could be further to go in terms of price declines. Where we think the opportunities are is in fixed income, but not in the sub-investment grade space, not in the investment grade space. We like government bonds. Even though yields have come down, we still think you're getting decent income and, really importantly, some downside protection. And that's the resilience that you want to be putting into portfolios at the moment.
That is Isaac Poole there from Oriana Private Wealth. Don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.